welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our new year, and welcome to our new study and emphasis. We're going to be teaching on the book of Romans. So while you're grabbing your pencil, paper, device, go ahead and begin to turn with me there to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And so we're going to be taking a journey over the next 3 to 4 months, both in service, in our Wednesday night service, and also in our faith groups. Now, these are the four things that we endeavor to receive from the Lord through His Word and by the Holy Spirit in our faith groups and in our both our service, which is we call it the four I's. Where we're receiving impartation, we're receiving divine instruction, we're receiving impact. That means if something's impactful to you, that means it made a difference and it made you make a decision to either reverse it or reinforce it. And so it's going to make a positive impact on you. And then, of course, increase. So we're believing that everyone under the sound of my voice, either online or in here, will increase in your faith, in the stability and strength of your faith. Because, you know, the enemy's busy. He's trying to shake people's faith. So the underlying theme is being strengthened in the foundations of our faith, but also that helps us stay right or live righteous with God. Because Romans is kind of like the five-star book about being right with God. It's the gospel in a book. It is kind of like the master class of the gospel. The gospel. So this, we're in master's class for the next several months. So let's get ready to receive. Y'all ready to receive? We welcome all of you online. And if you're watching for the first time, you know what to do. There's information on the screen to let you know how to connect with us. And we would love to connect with you and connect with you further if you would follow the prompts or the instructions on the screen to send the word welcome, text the word welcome to the number on your screen. And we'd be so happy to connect with you further. There's a digital connection card you can fill out once you get the link back after you text the word welcome, and it will help you fill out some basic information so we can connect with you and we can communicate to you the good things about God and what the church is doing, the Church of God is doing here at Triumph Ford Christian. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So get your Bible out, get your water, get your pen, paper, or you, if you're a fast typer, type on your device. And so we're going to get into the Word of God. All right, so Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to read tonight. We're just going to cover 17 verses. And we're just going to really go kind of briskly because there's a lot of meat, a lot of meat and potatoes on these 17 verses. But we're going to center around the theme called three I Ams. So I'm going to bring back to your remembrance what we're all created and called to be and do. And just like Paul, we all have that calling and that commitment to make to the Lord. So at the beginning of the year, I love it how this is set up out of verse 1. So Romans 1, verse 17, I'm reading out of 1, verse 1 through 17. I'm reading out New King James Version. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, you might want to put that circle or underline the word called and then highlight the word separated because you're going to see unto the gospel of God. So I would make a note in these 17 verses how many times the word gospel is mentioned so you get a picture of what's being emphasized or expressed through Paul by the Holy Spirit, the gospel of God, which he promised before his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you're also called. There's that word again. To all in Rome, beloved of God, verse 7, look at that again, called to be saints. Three times. This is God talking to us. He's using the vessel of Paul, but he's talking to us. And then it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. There it is again, the word gospel. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests by some means. Now, at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that you may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as the other Gentiles, as among the other Gentiles. Look at verse 14. I am a debtor to both Greek and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. As much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel, there it is again, to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There it is again. Are y'all seeing this? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now I want you to step back up to verse 14 and circle the three I ams, because that's the subject tonight. That's our closing coming home in this teaching tonight, emphasis that we want you to take away. But there's other things we're going to kind of glean from verse 1 through 17. But verse 14, he says, I am a debtor. So highlight or circle the word, I am a debtor. And then both to the Greeks and to the barbarian, to the wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready. That's the second I am. Ready for what? We're going to talk about it in a minute. And then verse 16, I am not ashamed. So the subject, the emphasis, the big subject tonight is the three I ams. The three I ams of Paul are to be the three I ams of you and me in our lives in 2023. I'll say it again. The three I ams of Paul are to be the three I ams of you and me in 2023. The foundation focus of our faith starts with these 17 verses. Amen. All right, so let me stop and give you a little background. Romans was written by Paul the Apostle through the scribe Tertius. It's referenced in Romans 16:20-22. The time of writing was 58 A.D. Now, A.D. was always after the death of Christ. You know, B.C. was always a time recording of before Christ. A.D. was after death of Christ. So this is approximately 58 A.D., which is 58 years after Jesus died on the cross. This is an important book to be inserted into the Christian culture and the Christian world, because, you know, you're talking half of a century since Jesus had died and rose again. 50 plus years. So Jesus's original teachings and his advanced teachings needed to get clarified and consummated. And this is, like we said, the masterpiece that contains the gospel at all points in one book. Romans is rich and revolutionary. When he wrote it, he was in Corinth at the house of Gaius, references Romans 16:23. Here's the occasion that where it came. So this letter was penned in the house of Gaius, and Phoebe, a businesswoman, traveled from Corinth to Rome. Phoebe was a superstar sister. You could just say it that way. She was a super saint in a sense. You know, not that, you know, we categorize people like that, but she was very faithful, and she was a businesswoman. So she traveled from Corinth to Rome to deliver the letter. She had it going on. If you study Phoebe, she was very highly noted and commended by Paul. Amen. Amen. So she brought this, delivered this letter, an epistle to the church at Rome. And so he sent it with her commendation that she's been a big blessing to him and other ministers. And so they can not just say, who are you giving us a letter? You know, it was about her credibility, both as a businesswoman, but also as a devout Christian. Amen. Now, here's the purposes. What's it all about? These are some top five purposes of Romans. Just giving you a foundation here. Number one, to clarify the principle of justification. Justification just means to be declared righteous. Because just like today, people want to create their own righteousness. And Paul said in Romans 10 that the Jews had tried to become right with God their own way. But there's only what? One way to be right with God. And he tells us that in his first 17 verses, that even the Old Testament prophets told and foretold one way right with God, not through the Mosaic law, which people always try to go back to, legalism, we would call it today, being legalistic, saying, I got my name on a roster, or I gave my life to the Lord back then. And so they think their works, particularly based on legalistic works, was going to justify them or keep them right with God. That's not the way to be right. So he had to straighten that out. So whether it's by the deeds of the law or the work of God. So he had to clarify that. Number two, to explain the unbelief of Israel in the past, their failure in the previous dispensation, and how this can be remedied. So in this epistle, we'll see that Paul expresses great concern for the Jewish people, even though he's an apostle to the Gentiles, because that was his assignment. That was his wheelhouse or his area of ministry. Peter was graced to be an apostle to the Jews, and Paul was anointed and graced to be apostle to the Gentiles. But he loved the Jews so much, the Lord put it in this letter so he can address some of their failures and some of their follies. And it's just like today. Some people, a lot of people, and we should, love and have passion for the Jews and the nation of Israel, but we can't follow their folly. We can't follow their failures by trying to practice the law to get right with God. Are you listening to me? Because people will tell you, we observe all these feasts, we do all these rituals and routines and religious traditions, and they don't realize that takes them further from God and does not make them right with God. All right? Third purpose was to commend Phoebe to the church at Rome, because she was going there to help support what Paul had penned by the Holy Spirit through Tertullus as he penned this holy epistle down and sent it with her. Number four, to clarify the issue, what constitutes the Christian way of life? Moses' law or the new law? Because when people don't know, they get confused, and then they make up a law or they go back to something they used to do. Does that make sense? And people do that today. They feel like, well, you ain't got to go to church. You ain't got to pay your tithe. You ain't got to do that. And you know, they want to be lawless or legalistic. Get to the extremes instead of staying balanced. Saying this is a New Testament law. This is a New Testament order. So we're going to reestablish that. Then, fifthly, to help Roman believers understand that how they can have victory over the flesh. How they gonna? That's a big one. Because evil tendencies in the flesh can hinder your faith big time. Amen. Praise God. So the book of and the Epistle of Romans is an important follow-up to the facts presented in the four Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, offering a sweeping presentation of the gospel message. Now, what does it mean to me? We should take away through our time together over these next several months the magnificence and incomparable grace that God gives. We should have got a broader scope and understanding of grace, a broader but balanced scope. Amen. God's righteousness. And sometimes, you know, guilt and shame, condemnation, fear, inferiority gets in the way, and we try to earn righteousness with God. Earn how to be right with God. And it's in our languages, in our body languages, in our way we worship. That's not supposed to be in the way. Fear, inferiority, condemnation, inferiority, guilt, shame. But those are tools that the enemy uses to make us legal. Or in some cases, particularly with people who are less mature in Christ, he makes them lawless. He said, well, I can't live safe. I can't live holy. I can't live right. So why do I care? Why do I need to come to church? Why do I need to do this? So they just go out and just have fun. Because they feel like I have no control or no victory over my flesh. That's a lie from the devil too, as well. Amen. Everybody good? What does it mean to me? Also, the family of God. Nowhere in his other writings does Paul, by the Holy Spirit, extol the fatherhood and family of God as he does in the book of Romans. So we all should feel more connected and committed after we study in Romans to God, who is portrayed and pronounced over and over again by Paul as our father, that you need to have a good relationship with. And I say good, I really mean righteous or right relationship with. We should hear that under that theme over and over again resound through our spirit, that this is how we live right with God. But God's not just a God, he's our father. And he made us right through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so God has called us his children out of the world and is conforming us through every circumstance of life into the very image of Christ. Our fathers are working on us. Did you know he's working on you right now? He's working on you and working out of you to be conformed into the image of his firstborn son. Because we are his sons and daughters. You can't see that, the disconnected and distance. Yes, he is the first begotten of the Father, but we're also begotten of him. God's our very own Father. We're his very own child. Come on now. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. And so the Holy Spirit is the believer's ever-present counselor and teacher, confirming that he or she is a child of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, right? The Bible says that God is holy, a loving Father. He means to us that he clarifies the Israel and the Gentiles. And then living in the world. What is the Holy Paul, by the Holy Spirit, presents the New Testament's longest instructions about the Christian's relationship and responsibility to civil government. And in chapter 14, he lays out significant guidelines relating to matters of choice in life. You know, some people get really hard stanced about this. You know, judging somebody because of how they eat and what they eat. And you had to deal with that. Those are matters of choice. Amen. I can choose to eat bacon. Somebody might hate it that I choose to eat bacon. Amen. I'm just giving you an idea or an indication. And some people, well, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't eat. And they always want to tell people what they shouldn't do instead of freeing them that you have the freedom to choose as long as it's not immoral, illegal, or what? Unethical. Amen. But if, you know, if I go and choose to smoke marijuana or go out there and get drunk, I'm going to violate the morality law of God, the moral law of God. Amen, right? And in some cases, public intoxication is what? Illegal. So I made a bad choice. But he gives us the freedom to choose. We'll talk about that when we get to that point. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he wants to, God wants to protect our life and our liberty. All right, let's go back to verse 1 through 4. We'll go back to that. Because the first part of these I am's is who we identify ourselves with and what we identify ourselves with. You got to get that straight the first part of the year. So he says, Paul. Everybody say Paul. Then a bondservant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle. Now, you got to notice that who he was is more mentioned first before what he was. Now, think about you and me. Who we are in Christ is higher priority than what we are in Christ. Or what we are in the body of Christ. Amen? He said, called, separated to the gospel of God, and he promised before the prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Isn't that good? So Paul is telling us by the Holy Spirit, this is the order of your identification that you need to maintain and need to keep in 2023 and beyond. Because if you mix it up or if you rearrange them, you reap hazards and harm to your own identification. Now, you know the statement about identification. The power of identification is... one of the power statements is, if you don't know who you are, you what? You act like what? Who you're not, or like someone else, or something else. We said the biggest crimes against Christians, Satan's biggest crimes against Christians is what? Spiritual identity theft. And you'll notice Paul always opens his letters like this. He identifies who he is. He even said in Galatians 2:20, I am, what? Crucified with what? With Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives where? In me. Constant statement. He said, Paul died, but Paul lives in Christ. So we should say that. We should look in the mirror and say, I died, but I live in who? in Christ. So you identify with Christ. That's why he says Paul, and that's what the person of Paul. Who are you? I'm a man or a woman in where? In Christ. Not in crisis, not in chaos, not in conflict. I'm in Christ. You got to first identify with who you are in Christ. That's your person. Because God's more interested in who you are and who you become than what you are and what you do. And that's why we were saying some people have a bad year or a bad couple of years, and they say, well, I'll be glad when 2022 is over. I heard it too many times. Because people identify with their pain and their problem, and they don't identify with their potential and their person of who they are in Christ. Paul, just stop right there. Call your first name. Then he moves on to the position. My position is a bondservant, right? Of who? Jesus Christ. He's a slave. He said, I'm slave. What does that mean? One thing it means, I don't own myself. I don't control myself. Because if he's Lord of all. That means he gets to do what? He's controller. He gets to tell me what to do. He gets to tell me who I am. He's reserved the right to tell me who I am. He's reserved the right to tell me what to do because I'm a slave. My position mentally, as Paul was saying here, mentally I see myself as a slave. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's his position. But as you know, in our culture, what happens? More people talk about what they're doing, what they're going to do, what they decide. They call the shots. They're the big boss with the hot sauce. Are y'all here tonight? So we get out of position. And we get out of position because we got out of our person. We forgot who we are. So we figured that you're a slave of Jesus Christ, your servant of Jesus Christ. The second thing this means, the position of a bondservant, means that what? A slave doesn't have to get his own provision, his protection. I work for the master. He's responsible for my resources. He's responsible for my provision. Well, what do people do? When they get out of position, they try to meet their own needs outside of God. They get out of position. Everybody say, don't get out of position. Tap somebody on the shoulder or look at them real nice and smile at them. Say, don't get out of position. I don't know what I'm going to do. What are we going to do? I belong to Jesus. If you look at the concept of slaves, in that day in Roman time frame, there was estimated, according to the commentaries I was reading and studying, there was over 5 million slaves in Rome. So Romans knew what a slave was. When you have a master, somebody who's a master of a slave, he's responsible for all the resources. He gives that slave a place to stay. He's supposed to provide the meals for that slave, but the slave does everything that master tells him to do. Go work in the field, go do this, go do that. They have no choice. They're in that position. Everybody say, don't get out of position. So his position and post in the Lord is also his role and responsibility and his race. So God says, I called you this. Okay, I guess I become that. Because that's what he said, right? Called to be an apostle. And you think if Paul could have picked, he would have switched with Peter. Because he was so zealous for the Jews and zealous for their salvation. He was on the way to becoming a high priest. He was a mover and a shaker. He was a fast tracker. And he wouldn't. And because of that Jews' religion, they kind of despised the Gentiles. They didn't like dealing with the Gentiles because it was unholy, unclean. So he was kissing behind and sucking up and brown nosing. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not trying to be vulgar. Trying to get up to the church. He said, you know, this church thing, you know, where people getting radical and outside the religion. He said, I'll do it. I'll go get them. I'll go extinguish this movement. And he persecuted the church and killed people. He was that radical and that religious. And for God to have a sense of humor and say, I'm going to put you over there. And your assignment's in the Jews. Every time he went to the Jewish synagogue, if you study Paul's history, he got beat up. He got beat down. Stoned in the head, left for dead. The Jews is the one that rioted against him. The Gentiles were all loving him. That's where he was called to. But he didn't necessarily like that. He wanted to stay with his Jewish clique. Just like sometimes people do today. They get out of what? Get out of position. But he had to realize, I'm a slave. I don't get to choose. He chooses. He gets to tell me what to do. Because he's Lord. He's master. Are you listening to me? So he told me and he called me to be an apostle and separated me to the gospel of God. Wow. God does not create you in Christ without a calling. You need to understand. What did you call me? What did you create me in Christ to be and become? That's your calling. That's a high calling. Amen. The last position is the last thing here. He says, separating him to the gospel of God. That's what he's supposed to do, which he promised before the prophets and Holy Scriptures concerning his son Jesus our Lord. So that's the performance of Paul. This is what you do. Now you overhear people's conversations, and you overhear people particularly in the work environment. They ask you, how was your weekend? And if you're sports inclined, like I am, you're very joyful when your team's won. When your team's lost, if you're really passionate about sports, like I sometimes tend to be, I'm trying to work on that, but you take it personally. So Monday morning, you might come in with a little bit of a irritation and aggravation. Your heart's hurting. Come on, y'all. Y'all here with me tonight? How was your weekend? How was your New Year's this week, right? How was your New Year's? Well, you know, neighbors were loud. Kept me up to 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and I didn't want to come to church. So I slept in. You know, that kind of thing. You get all these based on performance. Well, it was a hard day at work. It was kind of rough. Why? Because a lot of things were broke. Things weren't right. And what do? We identify with our what? Performance. So if we're getting answers to prayer, if we're making progress, or things are going right or growing right, then we're. But what about the tough times? See, Paul will show us in these 16 chapters that he had to go through some tough times. But he didn't lose his identity based on his performance. Because you remember when Elijah was preaching at Mount Carmel, the fire came down from heaven, and the glory showed up, wiped out all the prophets. He was winning. God was winning. So he was like, yeah. But when the devil says, I'm going to kill you, where did he go, sister? He ran into a cave. Was he not called at that point? Yes, he was. Was he not separated to be a prophet at that point? Yes, he was. We read that last year. It's at 1 Kings 19, if you want to look at it. 1 Kings 19. So he runs into the cave, and God says, where are you? Are you basing your life and your ministry on your performance? When things are going well, you're on cloud nine. But when things are not going well, you're down in the bottomless pit of despair? People will tell you their identity is based on performance. But if everything's going good and everything is right at that moment, then they feel like things are good. Things are right. What they do? They walk down a hazardous road, a harmful pathway that says the devil's setting you up for a fall. Because you're basing your identification on performance. Performance-based Christianity. Things are good, money in my pocket, everybody's acting right, nobody's sick, no challenges. That has nothing to do with it. So Paul said, keep it last place and keep performance in its place. Are y'all here with me tonight? You know, because some people get so worked up because somebody didn't take care of their job. Somebody didn't do what they're supposed to do. Somebody didn't take care of this responsibility. Somebody didn't. This ain't right. They did this. Lou did that. They did that. They did that. This didn't happen. This ain't right. This isn't right. They didn't treat me right. Performance-based Christianity is rotten, like eating a rotten apple. Paul tells us right up front, keep it straight. It's who you are. Then it's what you are. Then it's what you do. It's your person. It's your position. And then your performance. Never get it mixed up. Never rearrange the order. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, we must understand this more now than ever in 2023. Your identity determines your inheritance and your destiny this year in 2023. Because you hear the rumbling. You even hear it on social media and Facebook and stuff. People say, well, what happened to all the prophecies about the good stuff that's supposed to happen? I don't remember any prayers of mine getting answered. What's up with that? That's a real question. Be embarrassed about that. But we always say promises or prophecies never self-fulfill. They require faith, your focus, and your faithfulness. But if the devil comes in and swipes your identity or gets you to scramble your identity, rearrange it, so now I'm not thinking about who I am in Christ, I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to do. I'm thinking about my performance. I'm thinking about what I got to get done. You think about all the busyness and stress that comes upon you. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then you lose your identity. And then what happens by default, you lose your inheritance and you lose your destiny. You stop going along the pathway that God has prepared ahead of time and planned beforehand for you to walk in. You start walking off the reservation, walking off the beaten path that he's already prepared, and you lose. Because you lost your identity. Are y'all here tonight? See, we said it before. If your enemy can steal your identity, then he can cause you to forfeit your inheritance and your destiny in the glorious future he has planned and prepared for you in 2022, 2023 and beyond. So he knows if he steals your identity, automatically your inheritance is gone. Because if you don't know who you are, you won't access what has been provided. You think, I'm God. I'm in control. I've got to do this. I'm preaching about, I got an unction on this right now. Think of it this way. The enemy reminds you how bad and rough last year was, or how bad that person was to you in recent time, right? and the year before that, or and you forget who you are. What's the results? Identity is stolen, number one. Number two, inheritance is restricted. Can't get your healing, can't seem your faith, get your faith connected to the power of God. And therein lies, and then your destiny and your future from God is forfeited. Because now you've been derailed by some disease or diagnosis or some dilemma or some division and strife in your relationships. You can't fulfill the will of God in strife and division. Are y'all here? Y'all going home already? I just got a few more minutes. Everybody good? All right, so let's skip forward to, I want you to go down to verse 5 before we go to verse number 11. We're going to jump down to, but go to verse 5 for a minute. He said, through Jesus. So he said, we have all received what? Grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Underline. Highlight that verse. Through Jesus. That's a through him scripture. Now this is an application verse. Through means application. That means through Jesus you've received grace and what? Apostleship for obedience to the faith. Not mean, that doesn't mean you're apostle. Apostle in this context just means someone who's sent on an assignment to represent their master. You're an emissary. You're not here for accident. You're not in 2023 by happenstance or circumstance. You're here to do the Lord's business and to do the Lord's bidding. But he's given you a grace and he's given you a mission. Your first missionary field is your family and your friends. You're not here just to sit around and fellowship with your family, but you're to help win your family one by one with your faith back to Christ or back in church. You've got a grace. That means you don't have an excuse to say, I can't. I can't pray. I can't believe. Because through Jesus, you've got grace. Everybody say, thank God for his grace. Hallelujah. And obedience to faith. Now look at this. Look at this verse. Among whom you are all called. We can't walk out of here and say, I'm not called. It says we are all also the called. We are the called of Jesus Christ. So we receive grace and giftings. Grace and giftings are calling. And we're called to all in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And to be a saint, I'm not talking about being an ain't. Being a saint is a calling. Somebody say hallelujah. And so to be a saint means that you are separated and sanctified for a special purpose. It's just not a label. It's just not a lingo of language that we use in churchianity. A saint means I'm holy, I'm separated, I'm sanctified for God's special purposes. Everybody said, thank you, Lord, for calling me to be a saint. Amen. And I know that's a phrase that's used in the New Testament, but sometimes we gloss over it. We got to stop and say, that's me. I'm holy because God made me holy, and I'm supposed to live holy, separated, and sanctified for his use and purpose. That means I don't get cluttered up or messed up by the world and the wickedness that it brings and tries to influence in my life. We call it, in some Christian circles, fence straddlers. You spend more time in the world and watching the things of the world, listening to the things of the world, looking and entertaining with the things of the world, and you don't stay clean. You don't stay separated. We said that about James, you know, pure religion, undefiled, is to visit the father, widows and fatherless in their afflictions and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That means you can be spotted. But you're supposed to stay clean and prepared and ready for God to use you anytime, anywhere, any way, without limitation, reservation, or hesitation. Everybody say, I'm called. Because he gave you a gift, not to sit on it, but to serve his purposes with it. So you received grace, and you received a position, like an apostle sent as an emissary or a missionary to that mission. All right, let's keep going. I'm almost done. Let's go skip down to verse 11. Quickly cover three purposes of Paul's visit. He said, number one, verse 11. So let me go to verse 11 and read that again, please. For I long to see you that I might impart some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that you may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I plan to come to you, but I was hindered until now, that I almost... that I may have some fruit among you also, just as the other among the other Gentiles. For I am a what? Debtor. Well, let me stop right there in verse 13. So he said this, what? This is, first this visit was to give stability to the believers by the teaching of the word. That's one hugely important reason to come to church. Because if you're going to be the church, you need to have some stability in you. You need to have some word rooted and grounded in you. That's why you got to come hear the word. And then number two, to provide comfort together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So the measure of faith possessed by Paul and the Roman saints will be increased and cause joint blessings. So when you come in and you've grown in faith, and you come in and you've grown in faith, and you come in and you've grown in faith, and there's no such thing as comfortable faith, unchallenged faith. That means you've gone through your own personal trials. You've developed and learned from them, and you've been promoted and progressed through them. And then, yeah, your faith is growing. My faith is growing. And together, when we combine it, God multiplies it, mixes it. Now corporate faith is high. Corporate faith is what we can believe and what we can receive from God. Together as a church. Now, we're seeing lots of answered prayers, right? Recently that we prayed in Thursday morning. That's why we're going to expand it and enlarge it, because we need to get more stuff done. We need to pray bigger. We need to pray better. We need to pray broader. But our faith needs to grow, because we need to believe for more, because we need to receive more. Amen. This is a big deal, number two, the second one, provide comfort. Because it's comforting to know that we can get it done. We can go to God, just two or three of us, and we can believe the money in. We can believe it all in. But if we're struggling because our faith is on a lower level, and we can't get past this level because we said the devil challenged us, I can't believe for $5,000 or more a week. I just have a hard time even saying it. Your faith needs to grow. You need to put up or shut up. Amen. Amen. You need to get your faith up. We need to be individually knowing how to believe and trust God for a new car if you need it. Don't sit there and wallow in the mud. Get your faith up. But that's comforting to know that you're growing in faith and you know how to trust God for your own healing with maybe one or two faith friends and get it done. Well, praise God. I don't want to get that detracted with that. So, all right, number three, to see production by the Roman believers. Stability, comfort, and production are three big things we need to be as Christians and do as a church in 2023. Stability, comfort, and production. Because people getting scared, running in fear, getting falling back into shame and guilt. That's not supposed to be in 2023. Now let's get to the three I ams. Verse number 14. I am a debtor, both the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. As much as in me, I am ready. Everybody say, I'm a debtor. I'm ready. To do what? Are you ready to preach the gospel to you and in Rome also? And then verse 14, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes.